Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the Dynamic Convergence. I am your host, the 13th Crusader, and with me today, once again, is the terrific Tracy Sayers. Tracy, what's up?
All good, darling. How's you going?
I am doing fantastic. Actually, not fantastic, terrific.
Terrific.
Fantastic belongs to another publisher, but this is a DC podcast.
Yeah. So we're terrific.
Exactly. We are terrific.
Or we're super.
Super, exactly. See?
Yeah, we can work this.
I like that. And today's topic for you listeners is DC characters, comics versus movies.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a fun topic because once upon a time, it was all just in the books. Almost all of these comic book characters were just in the books. And then, slowly but surely, they made their way onto radio. Then they made their way onto TV. Movies were made, etc., etc. You know the rest with that. But what's your feel about these comic book characters come to life? So when you see them on the big screen, are you happy? You're excited? Are you thrilled? Or are you like, oh, no way. They just took my favorite character and they ruined it. So,
been there a few times.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be a fun topic. So, Tracy, right off the bat, I'm going to ask you, which favorite character in the comics were you excited to see on the big screen or on the silver screen?
Wonder Woman. Straight up.
Excellent.
I was waiting since Linda Carter on the TV, because obviously she's done such an amazing job, but she wasn't comic book enough. As in, her storylines weren't as connected. So I was waiting all my life, basically, for this movie to come out. And when it hit the screens and I went to see it, I was lucky enough to go to a press screening. I cried. I absolutely cried. I walked out of that movie and I had to write a review and send it off. And I think it took me 5 minutes to put the review down because everything was just like, oh my God, oh my God, I've been waiting for this. I love this. Oh my God, she's amazing. The cinematography's great. And then I went to see it a second time and a third time and then a fourth time. And after the fourth time, I came home and I started reading through some of my comics. And I was thinking, wow, like, Patty, I just want to high five you and say thank you for all the fans, because it was so well written, it was so well interpreted, the relationship with Steve, the Themyscira, the Amazonians themselves. Like, I think more than anything in that movie, that was my favorite thing, was watching those women jump off that cliff ready to fight in battle. It's just amazing. I can't even say enough words about it because it just made me so happy.
Very good choice. So you saw it four times?
Yeah, in the cinema I saw it four times, and then I got it.
Well, you have nine more times to watch it for the magic number. Yeah.
I probably have seen it about 13 or 14 times. I'd say 13 times, because I do own it.
Perfect.
And, I do own another copy of it. So we'll say I've seen it 13 times.
Excellent. Excellent. It's a great movie, no doubt. Many great scenes, great acting. Music was fantastic. I love the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. The score was phenomenal.
Yes, I do listen to it occasionally. It's very inspiring and moving. I do sketch to the music, so it works. I love it.
Yeah, but even like, you know, when they were doing the intro that they had for the ad for it, when they were doing the trailer, you know? And I was like, oh my God! And every time I heard it, I remember, I don't know, it was just before it came out or if it had come out, I was doing a radio interview for a friend of mine. She has a radio show and she does a bit called The Nerdy Girls at the end, and I was in talking about it. And she put on the music and I was like shaking in my seat going, oh my God, oh my God, don't lose your shit, Tracy, don't lose your shit, just talk about it.
Well, I'll tell you that with me, okay, and this is going to, with my favorite DC comic character, obviously, is Batman, okay?
Obviously.
Big time fanatic about the 60s show. Obviously, I watched the reruns. I was not alive at the time the show was out.
I love the way you got that in there, just, so people know.
Just to make sure. But just because something is old doesn't mean you can't enjoy it once you learn about it. So,
True that.
love the show, love the Batman. I love Adam West. You know, there have been many podcasts where I've said that. I love the cast. I've tried to make it a personal thing of mine to meet members of the cast. I am absolutely positive I'm not the only one in the world that's on that type of a quest. So, as a kid, watching the reruns, and then one day it happens. Batman is announced. Yeah, Michael Keaton announces Batman, and I was like, this doesn't look anything like the Adam West Batman.
No, this is not the same.
But in that era and time, it was just a it was like a phenomenon, right? People wore t-shirts, the Batman, everything, Batman memorabilia, you name it, caps, everything. Everything had a bat symbol on it. And I'm like, finally, people are really like, it's Batmania. Then, the movie comes out, The Darkness, Michael Keaton, what can I say, with a tremendous performance. Everyone in the movie, the Joker, obviously Jack Nicholson, made me look at Joker in a much more different way than I had ever looked at him in. So, each member of the cast, just and the way that they set up the ambiance in Gotham, I felt like I was in Gotham. So, I walked out of that theater, I'm like, wow. So that totally blew me away. As time passed, with all the other Batman movies, it got a little sillier, obviously.
Holy rusted metal, Batman. What? It's rusty and full of holes.
Yeah, exactly. Or nothing beats like, it's like everybody freeze. By that era, I was like, what are you guys are heading in a direction I don't like with my favorite character. I love Arnold, but I'm sorry, not as Mr. Freeze.
No, that was not a good choice.
No.
But Uma Thurman was an amazing Poison Ivy.
Oh yeah,
But
no doubt.
she had the look right. She had the moves of how she done. It was just really badly scripted.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Chris O'Donnell, believe it or not. As Robin, with a Nightwing-esque costume.
Oh, I just love
It's just
him.
no.
I love him. I don't love him as a character. I just love Chris O'Donnell.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Because, one of the first movies I ever seen him in was this really badly done Irish-based movie. It was based on an Irish book by Maeve Binchy called Circle of Friends. And the dodgiest Irish accent. Oh, and I just fell in love with him, and that was it.
There you
So
go, Chris
whatever he's in,
O'Donnell.
I'm like, I love you, Chris O'Donnell.
There you go, if you're listening.
If you're listening, I know you're on NCIS LA now. Just
The two characters we mentioned, who doesn't love them?
Exactly.
The history on with them in the comic books has, gone up and down. Batman wasn't always a top-selling book. In fact, he had his own years that he struggled. Wonder Woman has been a roller coaster ride.
Hugely,
Yep.
hugely roller coaster. And even in recent years, you know what I mean? I know back not that long ago, 5, 6 years ago, the runs of Wonder Woman were not, as important seemingly as some of the other newer stuff that was coming out. And it was, for me as a fan, it was very sad to kind of see this character being kind of half-assed done and just put out there because, it was a book that had to be put out every couple of weeks. So here you go.
Right.
But since the movie, they've really upped their game.
Agreed. Wonder Woman wasn't always so wonderful in the comic books, pun
Nah.
intended.
Nah, she was not.
But we've had some very good writers handle the book. We've had some very good artists handle the book, but it always seems to, go on that path of a roller coaster. Even the latest Rebirth Wonder Woman comic books, I to me started off kind of okay, and then it just started dipping, and then it started declining and declining and declining.
Rebirth, I'm not happy about
Yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
At all, as they say. It's just, again, it's, these are our beloved characters. These are the
Right.
things that we've seen and loved and wanted, and for them to bring out something cheesy on TV or in a movie, it can be ignored. But when book sales, start to become this cheesy, boring, half-assed thing, it's just it puts new people off, because there's a lot of people who haven't read anything but Rebirth.
Right.
There's all these new people who've watched that movie going, wow, I should read more about her. And what they go to first is Rebirth. And you're like, no.
So let's name what let's see if you can name a character that you like in the comic books, but you did not like performance wise, big screen or TV.
Oh, well, you know my answer to this. My love for Keanu Reeves started when I was 11 years old and I seen him in Parenthood, and I loved him, and I loved him. And then he played Constantine, and he pronounced it Constantine, even though in the comics it says, my name is Constantine, not Constantine. And he had no humor, he had no sex appeal, he was not interested in, snugging the lead lady, which, in the comics he totally would have jumped her.
Oh, yeah.
The only good thing character in that book or in that movie was Papa Midnight. They got him right. Then they had Shia LaBeouf. Seriously? And then he dies, and it's like he can't fucking die. Did nobody in that movie read the books? Because he can't. He's a, he is an set number of lives that he can live. He's not dead. Oh my God. I could go on about this for hours because it really hurts my brain. And I think, like, even the bad guys, and it's like, with, like, the devil himself wants to come up for him. And he comes up and he's all slimy and shit. That's what Lucifer looks like. You ain't read the comics. And then, oh, it's just so much. But then, after all that anguish, they bring out a TV show and Matt is in it. And he's perfect. And what did they feckin' do? Cancel the bloody series.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a tough pill to swallow. It really is.
Oh man, like, the Constantine books, they came from an era when, there's a lot of English politics in it. They talk about a lot of really deep-rooted social issues, and it progresses on, and who he is and his move to the States and back and forth throughout the world dealing with what he's dealing with. And you don't get any of that in the movie. It's just not there.
Right.
And then this TV show comes out, and the pilot was amazing. I really was happy with the pilot, but then the chick from the pilot decided that she didn't want to do it. So they brought a new chick in and made her Zed, which was even better because she was a much better character. And they did, a lot of the stuff was very much based on the original books, not on any of the kind of rebirthy new stuff that had come out in recent years. It was a lot based on, there's a couple of bits about Rate the Gay, and it was just such, it was just amazing to see somebody pay attention. So to have two things that are the same, they're supposed to be the same thing, one on the TV and one on the big screen, to be so different, it was crazy. But it just, the Keanu Reeves one broke my heart, because I remember looking at him going, he's not even fucking blonde. He's not even pretending to have an English accent. It was just being, like a really tired guy from Speed.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe the heat, that's what happened.
I think it was the same kind, like he was playing the same character, that
Yeah.
guy, and he was just like, meh, it's all right. I'm
No,
fine.
no spell could fix that flick,
Nuh-uh.
huh? Well, one character I've always liked but did not enjoy the film was Green Lantern.
Oh God.
Need I say more? Green Lantern has been around for many, many years. Obviously, the Alan Scott Green Lantern started it all, but he had nothing to do with the Guardians. Hal Jordan comes along, Silver Age, rest is history. eventually a movie is made. You know, at that time I was like, finally, finally, someone remembered Green Lantern because, you
And
know,
Ryan Reynolds.
yeah, you know, prior to that you had the, you know, him in animation, you know, as a character, Green Lantern in animation, you know,
Yeah.
the Justice League and the, you know, during the 60s or whatever. You know, you see him in, you know, later on in with the
He was in
Justice League.
some one of the 80s one, wasn't he?
Yes, you know, and where all the
Yeah.
male characters had the same voice, you know. I'll get you with this ring, don't worry, I'll save you.
I'll save you.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Once the movie came out, I'm like, finally, maybe this could really change things for the character for the better. Not to say that the books during the time were bad, because the Green Lantern books had gotten progressively better. But when the movie came out, I was utterly disappointed. And I think it kind of hurt the book, to be honest. Green Lantern is just one of those mythos that, to me, the sky is the limit, literally. You know, this is a character with powers that evolve from beings from space. You get all these aliens involved. And I just think that the acting was terrible.
It was so bad.
You know, I actually liked Sinestro, you know, but I don't know, I'm just disappointed. I don't know how else to put it. And hopefully there's, you know, plans to make a much better Green Lantern movie. It has to happen. You know, he's one of the core characters. He's a founding member of the Justice League in the comic books.
Yeah, but there's no sign of him in the movies
No.
at all.
No. Maybe one day, you know, they'll get this thing right. So can you name one character that you do like in the comic books but surprised you in the big screen or little screen in a way like you didn't expect? Like, wow. Like it has, they're not even close to resembling each other, but this surprised me and I'm okay with
Yeah. Wow, there's a couple.
it.
Let me think. The what's now? Oh God, there's so many. I'm just like, which one will I pick? I liked when Hawk Girl that they have in Legends of Tomorrow.
Yes, that's such a, I love that show.
I was not expecting good things from her
Yeah.
at all. And it's like, she is actually quite good.
Oh yeah.
Now she's not typical of what I expected. And it was like, wow. Okay, I can live with her then being the way she is because, it's not as irritating as maybe other characters within that series who will not be mentioned.
Can I just say that one of my favorite scenes was when the guy that becomes Steel, I forgot what his you know, when he's like almost suffering hypothermia and then she has to like warm him up.
Rub herself around him.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I almost felt like jumping into a frozen pool and just hoping Hawkgirl would stop by and keep me
You're
warm.
like, hey.
I'm freezing over here, help me out.
I do like the way that is she Black Canary or White Canary in DC Legends of Tomorrow?
Isn't it both?
I'm saying, and that confused me.
Right.
That's something that made me think, what? Which one is she supposed to be, and why is she swapping from one to the other? And but as an actress,
Yep.
kicks ass.
Oh yeah, no
Like
doubt.
her fight scenes are flawless, and she does most of them herself.
Yeah, and you can see the emotion on her face, like
Yeah,
it's she sells it really well.
She does, and I like I remember the one where they got back in time to the 60s, and they all like set up, and she met this nurse, and
Yeah.
kind of fell in love, and that was a beautiful thing to watch, because you saw this softness to this very hard character,
Right.
and again, because she's flipping personality wise from Black Canary to White Canary, though she's supposed to be White Canary, isn't she? Technically. So that was what was irritating me. But when I watched that scene, and that was in season one, and I thought, you know what? She's got quite a good range. And I remember there was a comic out, and I can't remember if it was a Birds of Prey one or if it was something else, where a very similar situation happened, and you got to see the softer side of, and it was when Black Canary. And I was like, yeah, that actually makes so much sense, and it tied in. So I was very impressed by that.
Yeah, Black Canary in the comic books, she's been around for a long time.
Long time.
She's had a very confusing history. First, there's a Black Canary, but then, wait a minute, there's another Black Canary. Oh, the first one's the mother or the sister,
Or somebody.
yeah, somebody, part of the League, part of another Earth. Then, the Birds of Prey, but then I guess the thing kind of started with her and Green Arrow, which is great. But at the same time, I never felt like the character really. It has not evolved yet to a point where she can carry a long sustaining run. Unfortunately,
No,
she's
no.
always ca thrown into a team like Birds of Prey. As a standalone character, there have been struggles. That's just a fact.
Yeah,
She is a
and I think
beloved
it's because of
character,
the
no doubt.
I think because of the inconsistencies when who she is at the core of her character. We all know, Superman is Superman, We all know that, Batman is Bruce Wayne. We all know,
Well, everybody knows Batman's Bruce Wayne in the books, in the movies, everything.
everything. So, I think with having a character who isn't that definitive. See what I did?
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
It will make it difficult for them to have a standalone series, and it is a sad thing because as a female reader of a certain age, I would love a Black Canary book
Oh yeah, no doubt. I'm waiting
because
too.
it would be phenomenal and it would speak to my generation of comic readers. But we'll wait and see. We can live and hope.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if there's any character, other than Batgirl and Wonder Woman that deserves a shot, definitely, Black Canary. And I'm sure your listeners out there will have many other suggestions other than Black Canary. I'm sure of it. But if someone said to me, who do
Lady
you think should
Shiva.
be next? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, Lady
Just
Shiva.
shut it out. Just shut it out. Thanks.
yeah, see what we did? But Black Canary definitely deserving of a run, but it's right now in the comic books, DC struggled with Batwoman. She's
Yeah,
slated
and
to make her appearance soon on the silver screen, so
ugh.
I love the character. Did not like the latest book run. Or I'm not liking the series too much unless something dramatic really happens. Curious to see what she's gonna look like, when she
Yeah,
debuts. So,
like what are they going to dress her like?
hopefully, like a bat. I mean, if they do anything that
You know
resembles a
what I
bat, that'll be
mean?
a start.
That's the problem, you know what I mean? Because there's so little information about what's coming out, and they do have artistic license. When you bring somebody to a different platform, you do. But it's always the thing that worries me the most. It's like, what way are they going to dress her? Like, are they going to cover her boobs? Are they going to have her in thigh-high boots? Are they going to give her a cape that flaps so much that her hair billows in the wind? Or are they going to give her what she wears in the comics? And maybe that's me just being a little bit sticky about things. But I understand that you have to sex things up a bit to sell it. But these characters sell comics because of the way they are. Why change it?
Agreed. Agreed. Let me tell you, after that Hawkgirl scene I was talking about earlier,
He
dot dot dot, to be continued on another podcast. That is part of my bucket list, is to get hyperthermia in the hopes that Hawkgirl would fly by, but
that's look, we put it out there because like you never know. We're putting it out there. So any really hot girl, impersonators, cosplayers, hit us up, man.
I'll tell you one thing.
L13 here. Guy. Guy. But he's a bit cold. Needs a cuddle.
Yes. Thank you.
Hey, I'll pimp you out, no problem.
Well, thank you again.
You're real. Do you
One
know
ca
what character really annoyed me in the movie, though?
uh-huh.
And it made me sad. When they done Two-Face,
Ah.
And they did Harvey Dent, Two-Face at the end, and it was just like, oh man,
Yeah, that's another
oh
tough
man.
one. That's a tough one. You know, the Two-Face character is a character we never saw in the 66 Batman series.
No.
So, you know, when he finally came out with Tommy Lee Jones,
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, Tommy Lee Jones, what are you gonna do with this guy, with this character? I was almost sorry I asked.
Yep.
But anyways.
But come on, he had to stand beside Jim Carrey for most of the movie, so which wasn't. I'm not saying that Jim Carrey was better. I'm just
Yeah.
saying he had to stand beside him.
Frank Gorshin to me is my Riddler.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
110% agree with you.
And still is.
Yeah, I don't understand all this Heath Ledger love. He was good, but he wasn't outstanding.
Oh, as a Riddler, but Heath Ledger did Joker.
Oh, Joker, sorry, Riddler.
Yeah.
Oh, original, sorry, I'm getting confused. Original guy in his little leotard in the 66 series.
Yes, with a big question mark, yes.
The question mark. Yeah, him. 100%.
Yeah, it was just Riddler personified to me. Anytime I read Riddler, I'm thinking, will I ever see the Frank Gorshin Riddler in a comic book?
Yeah.
Sometimes you get lucky a little bit. One character I wanted to mention that I have always liked in the comic books, and I was surprised by their silver screen appearance. Actually, I have two of them. And again, here we go, another shout to Legends of Tomorrow. So both of them are on there. At first, I was totally skeptical about Martian Manhunter on a Supergirl show. Actually, that's a lie. It's not two of them on Legends eventually, yeah, but as in a team up. But you know, I was skeptical about Martian Manhunter on a Supergirl show. So I see it, you know, okay, cool. And in time, I'm like, wow, I like it. I like the way that the Martian Manhunter helps out
Can I make
Supergirl.
a confession right now?
Yes, you don't like it?
I've not watched one episode of Supergirl.
Sweet. Well, hopefully you
Because
can and you'll come back
I
to me
have
then.
a reason. Supergirl growing up was my second favorite next to Wonder Woman. And the movie that came out as it when I was a child, Supergirl movie, was for me was Supergirl.
Helen Slater?
Yeah. And I was too upset when they said they were going to make a TV show because I was like, they're going to feckin' ruin it. So I haven't watched it because I heard so many bad things and then I heard so many good things and then I don't want to chance it in case I get upset or angry.
I think Melissa Benoist is doing a really good, or has done a good job on the show, as well as the rest of the cast. You know, I was very skeptical as well. You know, the comic books with Supergirl has also been a roller coaster history. You know,
And it's changed a lot in the last few years,
it's difficult to keep up in the comic books. It really
Yeah.
is. You know, you have different Supergirls. One died in the Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I'm feeling it there,
You
yeah.
know, it's like, I don't even know what to expect anymore.
It's like, who are you?
Yeah, who are you? And then the comic books, and the Rebirth comic books have
Oh,
not been too good. Didn't start
no.
off too good. I think they got a little bit better, a little bit better, later in the run, more, very recent issues. But in the
Yeah.
beginning, you can
Well,
listen to the Definitive Crusade podcasts.
you'll hear us talking about
Oh yeah, in more
it.
detail.
Certain members of our team have
Right.
expressed their upset.
Yeah. So Martian Manhunter, loved the character. Again,
Oh yeah.
cornerstone of the Justice League, loved his portrayal. And then the other one, on actually a Supergirl show. So I was wrong with saying Legends earlier. So both of them actually on the Supergirl show was Mon-El.
Oh.
Mon-El is, you know, has also had a semi-long history, confusing in the 90s. Back
Yeah.
again, allergic to lead, etc., etc.
Was that about?
So, allergic to lead?
Yeah.
Well, he's allergic to metal. You can take that pun how you like.
Nah.
Because I'm allergic to metal too. But no, Mon-El
Oh,
in the comic,
please.
yeah, Mon-El in the comic books. It's. You know, he was once upon a time, he was also known as Valor. He was, you know, took Superboy's place in the Legion of Superheroes. So he's had a long history. He's not somebody
He's
that was
been
just
around, yeah.
yeah, he wasn't invented last night. You know, and the saddest part about this character in the comic books was his actual first appearance. You know, Superboy meets him and he's like, "Who the hell does this guy think he is?"
Yeah, who are you?
Yeah, he's like, "You're trying to say you're actually, you know, related to me," or whatever. He didn't know. You know, so instead, Superboy's like, "I think this guy's full of BS." And, you know, lo and behold, at the end, he's exposed to lead, you know, because Superboy was trying to, you know, I guess, play him or trick him
Justin.
out. Yeah, and then the guy's
Yeah.
like dying of an allergic reaction. What does Superboy do? "You know what? You know, my bad, but I know how to fix this. Let me shoot you into the Phantom Zone. That'll do it. I'm gonna trap you there until we find a cure."
Yeah, we'll leave you in there. It'll be fine.
Years later, as Superman, you know, what? And the worst part is, Mon-El's like, "Yeah, cool, man. I'm cool with it." Are you kidding me?
Yeah, well, he didn't know any better. You know what I mean? He was sitting there going, okay, I could die, or I could,
Yeah.
like, float around in space time pocket thing for a while. It might be a bit cold, but sure, I'm sure he'll give me a jacket. You know, it won't be that long.
Come on, Tracy, if we went somewhere right now to a restaurant and I said, "Hey, you know, I can't eat this because I'm allergic to it. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and eat it. It's good. And I have my
Yeah.
Phantom Zone projector right here, so as soon as you're done, you'll be right in the Phantom Zone." Come
And
on.
he'll be sorted. No bother.
Yeah, just wait in there. Don't worry about it. Be floating
Yeah.
around. You know, can't even feel my, you know, my hands or anything. I'm just floating around in the Phantom Zone. Good job, Superboy. That's the comic book version of Mon-El.
Oh.
In on the show.
We're a little bit sore about that, aren't we?
Yeah, well, you know, in Legion, you know, Brainiac found a way to kind of
Take.
hook him up so he can come out of the
Yeah.
Phantom Zone and help out.
Yeah.
So, thank you. Look at that. So
Good
Superboy
old
did that.
Brainiac.
Brainiac. Yeah, what did that tell you?
lot.
Yeah, on a TV show, I was skeptical. You know,
Yeah.
I won't spoil it too much for you, but I honestly, I think the Mon-El on the TV for me is okay. You know, it's just great to see a Mon-El on a TV show because that's one character that I did not expect to see on TV.
I agree. What I know a lot of people are giving out about it, but I like an awful lot of characters now that are in the Gotham series. I think some of the portrayals are fantastic. The Barbara Gordon, she's just so good. The guy who's playing Penguin, perfect. The only thing is, he's a bit, you want to be him to be a bit rounder, but he's not, so it's fine. But some of the things he does and the mannerisms that he has adopted are very, very much like the comic.
Yeah, I agree 100% because you could see how it's always like they say, when you're young, you develop this personality and you reach a certain point where it's just never going to change.
Yeah.
And you can easily see that this Penguin, when he becomes an adult, it's going to totally connect.
Yeah.
And it is a fantastic portrayal, I agree.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's there's some of the things that they don't, I'm totally against. Like the Poison Ivy character, she has changed three times and has been three different actresses at three different age levels. And it's ridiculous. And she's supposedly called Ivy as well, and she's like a homeless kid that, knows Selena Kyle. So I was really annoyed at that because they ruined that character.
Yeah, and it's not just on TV. I think the comic books can or have been struggling a little bit of late with Poison Ivy. You know, she's popping up in Coney Island, visiting Harley Quinn. You know, they're either
Yeah,
together.
she's making the wedding plans for people,
Yeah,
because
either
she
they're
wants to get
together.
invited.
Yeah, either they're together or they're not. And then in Batman, she's like terrorizing Gotham, controlling the world, using Superman to beat the crap out of Batman. So she's a lethal killer
Crisscross.
in there. Then you have her fighting Damage, the new age of superheroes, and she literally chokes Damage out with vegetables.
Yeah.
You know, so
Eat
either
your
she.
carrots.
Yeah, but then in Harley, it's like, "Oh, Harley, your friends, let's have a party." And, you know, which Poison Ivy is it?
I think that's the whole idea, though, with the comics. They haven't decided which one they want to be.
Right.
But I just think realistically she should just be this kick-ass killer, because I think it suits her better.
Well, her name is Poison. If you take the Ivy out, then I guess you can kind of make her however you want. But if, so long as you're calling her Poison Ivy, I'm expecting her to be a villain. It's not like Killer Moth, you know? Whatever he reforms. My name is now Moth. I'm here to help you. I'll smack a smile on his face because it doesn't make sense. You are a killer moth. Shut up and be a criminal.
Yeah, do your thing. Do
Yeah.
what you're supposed to do.
There are just some characters that don't work as a hero, and I don't know about a reformed Poison Ivy. You know,
I don't think that would work,
and
because
you bring up an interesting subject because reformed criminals, Catwoman's been reformed how many times? Poison Ivy has been reformed how many times? Harley Quinn is being reformed. Who's next?
I don't know. Who do you think they who would be the worst villain to reform?
Mr.
That's a whole other
Mitzelplick.
podcast, isn't
Yeah, Mr. Mitzelplick.
I think Bizarro.
Oh, man. Well, he's semi-reformed in the comic books.
Yeah, I know.
Give me teddy bear. Oh, you, my friend.
You, my friend.
Best
But see,
friend, best
yeah,
friend.
see, I love him in Red Hood and the Outlaws, so I
Yeah.
can't really get out.
You know.
Boxy crotch and all. I love him.
You know, Bizarro has also had a tumultuous history, you know, but
I'd
then
like to see a Bizarro on TV.
I would too. You know what? I really love the Bizarro in Justice League Unlimited, even though he's a dumb brute, but he's just doing anything that okay, Luthor. You know, next thing you know, he's knocking a building down or just knocking somebody on their ass.
All he wants to do is, go, Bizarro punch or Bizarro bash. There we go,
Right.
Bizarro bash.
Right, even Grundy, right? Solomon Grundy.
Oh man, Solomon Grundy.
Yeah, it's like, I love Bird Nose. You know.
Did you see what? No, you probably did. Like on Gotham. This is one of my errors. They turned Butch into Solomon Grundy. All right, for maybe a handful of episodes, and then he remembers that he's Butch. So, but he still looks like Solomon Grundy. But like, he's like with the Riddler again, and then he's like, Riddler is Fred Grundy's friend, and then he's like, Grundy, just kick people's ass. But if they had have left him as Solomon Grundy, it would have been fantastic. But then they brought him back to being Butch, who looks like Solomon Grundy, and I was so sad.
Grundy Crush.
Grundy Crush.
ironically, my first comic book had Solomon Grundy on the cover, so I have known
No
him for
way.
many, many years. And the Solomon Grundy I grew up knowing was wiping the floor with the
Yeah,
JSA.
you like this guy who came out of a swamp who was like, toxic, and who just kicked ass because he was so better than most people. He was so strong, like.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite moments was Solomon Grundy. You know, he's fighting with Superman. Swamp Thing is there.
Yes.
And Swamp Thing jumps in, and, you know, I'm like, they beat him. You know, and then they, friend. You know, Swamp Thing can't even talk.
He's like,
Yeah, ooh, yeah, crush.
I love
You know,
Swamp Thing.
yeah.
That's an that was a another movie disaster.
Yeah. It, yeah.
Like, did that even come out in the cinema, or did that just go straight to re like to be release?
We don't talk
Ugh.
about that. it's I've actually, you know, tried to repress that memory. If I'm not mistaken, it was a theatrical release.
God. I remember seeing it on TV and thinking, oh, Swamp Thing, wow.
I could be wrong, but I could have sworn that I saw movie posters on that thing. But that
No.
just goes to show you.
I will IMBD that bad boy later and find out. But I just remember being so excited. Like, and then, in recent times he's been in some of the movies that like he was in the Batman Harley cartoon recently. Stopping Ivy doing her thing. And I think that's a pair up. Could you imagine if Ivy and Swamp Thing got together?
On a film?
Yeah. They just take over. There'd be nothing left.
Oh, there's a lot of ideas they could plant with a movie like that.
Oh,
Yeah. Thanks for laughing.
yeah, sarcastically.
Yeah.
We'll just leave that one to Flower.
Oh, goodness gracious. One other group of characters here that I was kind of like, okay, Suicide Squad.
Oh, that movie.
I'll
My
tell you
eyes
what,
melted.
I'm not the world's biggest fan of Harley in the comic books of late. I liked when she first came out, but I did not like, the iteration later on. The movie, though, I felt like Margot Robbie did a good job portraying Harley Quinn. I had no issues with it whatsoever. Deadshot, when they announced
Will
Will
Smith.
Smith, I was like, here we go.
Oh no.
But, whatever. The movie was the movie.
The movie was edited really badly. I think that was the problem
Agreed.
with it.
Agreed,
I think
right.
they done a lot of reshoots, and then kind of you could see watching the movie where they like chopped and put things back in. It had the potential to be so good with the cast. Like Jesus, even Captain Boomerang, like come on, Jai, what's his face? He's such an amazing actor. He's got really good range, and it just wasn't opened up. And I think they, as, and as much as everybody loves her eyebrows, I think they got the wrong character for Enchantress. I just think
Yeah, I did not like the Enchantress, yeah.
she was not right for that at
Yeah,
all.
right.
She was pe I don't know. I'm gonna do the ultimate insult. She was doing a Jean Grey.
Oh.
Wasn't she? Like that was what she was like kind of portraying. This, and then all of a sudden she's the other part of her. It was really bad. And then like even the Enchantress and her brother, that it was bad. But Killer Croc looked amazing.
Yeah, I had no qualms with the
Visually,
croc.
that the CGI and the prosthetics on that worked really well.
Yeah, I thought it was almost a load of croc until I saw the movie. See
Oh,
what I did there?
okay.
There's definitely
Are
room
you
for
just throwing it
opportunity.
out there to see if it came back? Like,
Yeah, like Boomerang.
yeah.
There's room for opportunity with that franchise. I don't know if they'll pick up where they left off, but
Well, especially now that they're in the comics, especially because Harley is leading.
yeah, there's a lot of things going on in the books, and Amanda Waller's everywhere, front and center. Rick Flagg
Oh,
is
God,
there here.
yeah.
Harley is obviously front and center with the team on the field. It's almost to me, and again, hate to bring this up, but the old X-Men, you had Professor X, but the field leader was Cyclops. I feel like that's the same thing now with Suicide Squad. Amanda
Yeah.
Waller is the headmaster, but
Yeah.
the field leader is Harley if it's not Rick Flagg. And
Yeah.
if they're both there, then they're both together and they're doing things,
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
Harley does things with whoever she wants, okay?
yeah, one of somebody's got hyperthermia.
Well, that's it.
That is that's the trick, right?
Yeah, I'd be like, "Hey, Margot, I'm cold."
Well, we all know what happens when you get out of a cold pool. Podcast for another day. But yeah, there's definitely room for improvement as well within the book. I just think that the next level for Suicide Squad, which really hasn't happened, is mature content. And we spoke
Yeah,
about this before. Suicide
definitely.
Squad does not belong in your everyday DC book intended for teens.
No.
It has to be, or at least if it's not a run, at least some sort of a Elseworld tale. Suicide Squad, I'm telling you, I think it would be so much better because those
Oh my God,
characters are meant for that.
they would sell out. You know what I mean? If
Yeah.
you made that a mature content,
Oh, no doubt.
you're not going to have the tweenies looking at it. It's going to be the people who are actually interested in the characters. And they can do so much more that doesn't have to be off panel, which is something we're always given out about when, people are brought back into the mainstream. As much as we appreciate it as readers, but as collectors, we want them to be doing the things they do, like Constantine, as another example. But the thing that I was hoping for was that we would get a Gotham City Sirens, and there was talk about it, and there was talk about it, And then it didn't happen.
Right.
And that makes me sad. So, DC, if you're listening, Gotham City Sirens, a new full run comics to go with a movie at the end of it.
Now, a show with the one that we're doing today, we can't leave without talking about the Joker.
Oh, yes.
'Cause the Joker, there have been many people that have portrayed the Joker. The
In many
book,
different ways.
right, the creators on the books have portrayed the Joker in many different ways. Sometimes it has been controversial. Other times he's just been a flat-out clown. So, what are your thoughts on a character like the Joker?
I think it's such a complex character, you know what I mean? You look at the animated series, and with the Mark Hamill,
Right. Oh yeah, I love, yeah.
he would, if I had to pick my favorite Joker, it would be Mark Hamill Joker on the animated series, and that's even including the books.
Right.
I just think he portrays it extremely well, and his storylines are quite good. I love Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
I did. You know what I mean? He was as flamboyant as you could be in that character. He was a proper psychopath. He was a sociopath. And it was portrayed really well, but because people didn't understand it, they kind of were like, "Oh no, Heath Ledger," blah, blah, blah. Which I just think was meh.
You didn't like the Heath Ledger Joker.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think there was anything special about it. I really don't. I don't understand this fascination with this guy, because I just thought it was just another. It was an okay portrayal of the character. And then, which character was he playing in the comics? Like, who was he taking from?
Yeah, he kind of reinvented
That
that
because
with the comic books,
that's what bothered me as well, was that they're, even with the other ones that we have seen, they have taken pieces, no matter how small, but there has been some remnants of the comic within that character.
Right.
He didn't at all.
Right. Well, this is such a tough topic for me because I like a lot of the portrayals of the Joker, whether it's a mixed bag of portrayals, but I have no qualms with any of the performances. Cesar Romero was my first exposure to as a Joker, and
And that big grin of his, and that, strong chin.
yeah, but his jokes were so campy, I was dying. To me, like, that was funny. Yeah, I don't know.
But
You have a bad sense of
that was
humor.
that entire series, you know what I mean? That
Right.
run was designed to entertain,
Right.
and it was focused on children, young adults,
Right. Right. That
But he
portrayal
was,
always stuck with me, with
yeah, he
Cesar
was,
Romero.
yeah. But then I think it's your first kind of, I don't know if it, like, I don't know if you find it, but your first look or your first interaction with a character, 9 times out of 10, that's always going to be your favorite. Like, for me, Michael Keaton is Batman. Nobody else can do it, If they were ever going to make a TV show of Wonder Woman, I would boycott it, because you can only have Linda Carter. There's these things that we as fans, we get a bit fanatical about. And I think the Joker is one that fans often fall out about.
Oh,
And
yeah.
even just people reading the comics going, "Oh, I can't believe this." Like the White Knight stuff. Wow.
Right.
Love that Joker. I think that Joker's amazing as a spin.
Right.
But a lot of people hate it.
Right. Yeah, that Joker's one of those characters that, even for people that love the character, there is even division, I guess, within yourself, because there's just so many portrayals, so many iterations in the book,
Yeah.
but yet the character keeps on living. I know people that are fanatics about, the Heath Ledger Joker. I know people that are fanatic about the Cesar Romero Joker or the Jack Nicholson Joker. Mark Hamill, to me, is the best voice of the
Yeah.
Joker. To me, when I watch Joker in a cartoon, if it's not Mark Hamill,
It's not worth
It's
it.
not Joker. You know, and that's a compliment to him and the amazing job he's done on the video games as well. You know, the video games he's done and I've played them. I'm like, yes, this is Joker. This is Batman, Kevin Conroy again.
Kevin Conroy. Oh, I had the pleasure of meeting him last year in Dublin Comic Con, and we were all setting up. Like, my friend had a stall, he was selling his prints and whatever, and he was literally across from me. And it was very quiet, and everybody's setting up, and we're all kind of, being good. And all of a sudden, he stands up and he says the line. And I was like, "Oh my God, it's Batman!" And everybody just started clapping. And like randomly over the weekend, when he was signing, like people would ask him to say it, and he'd say it. But then when it was really quiet, or when there's nobody at his desk, he would come out with a line, and we'd be all like, "Yes, you're
Oh man.
amazing!" It was fun times.
Yeah, I mean, those guys have done a tremendous job, not just with the Batman animated series, you know. They've lent their voices obviously later on, you know, Justice League and then the video games. Tremendous, tremendous career both of them have had. And you know, but again, you know, going back to the Joker, it's one of those things that to me, I don't think there's a right or wrong, 'cause at the end
I
of the day, I
agree.
think they've all done a phenomenal job, each in their own way. But you know, for your listeners out there, if you follow the Joker in a comic book, you know, I guess it depends on your taste. You know, if you want a clown, then you know, you go read maybe something very early in the Joker's career. You know, you can pick up a reprint of something when he was essentially kind of a campy clown. If you like the Homicidal Maniac, to me, that really starts after the Dark Knight era.
Oh, completely after Dark Knight.
You know, and if you really want to see him off the hinges, to me, that maybe started with, you know, Death in the Family, you know, killing a Robin.
Oh, killing Robin. Don't talk. It's too soon. We're
Yeah.
talking about it.
Yeah. So, you know, that's where, you know, I think Joker
Where do
went off the
you
deep end. I don't think he was like, "You want to know how I got these scars?" I don't think he did any of that.
No.
But yeah, Robin did get scarred that day.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, poor Jason Todd.
Oh, poor Jason. But it's okay. He's back. It's fine.
Yeah.
And he's got Bizarro as his best buddy, and he's got an Amazonian traveling with him. You can't really go wrong with that. Like, let's be honest. Would you rather be with Batman, listening to a moody fecker who's like, and then have a Nightwing coming in shaking his ass at you every day? Or would you want to be with an Amazonian and a crazy, crazy Superman-esque guy?
I'd rather find out if Artemis would save me if I was suffering from hypothermia.
I'm sure she would. She's good like that. But I think if you were there and Bizarro, I think Bizarro might jump on you first.
Or she could say, "Look, we can warm you up. Bizarro, breathe on him, and then fire comes out because he has fire breath."
That's true, but they wouldn't. But then you'd burn. He's not that silly.
Yeah. Well.
I think he would just want to cuddle. I'm telling you now, Bizarro was definitely the big spoon.
I don't know. I don't know. He could be a weird third wheel. You know, if like Red Hood is trying to kick it to Artemis like that. There was an issue recently where they went on a date and he was pretty much like, "Wow." You know, and beautiful art in that issue, by the way.
Yes, I
You know, they
agree
really did a
completely.
great job with Artemis, but at the end she's like, "Listen, you idiot. We just did this so that he can't listen to us." And he's like, "Oh."
Yeah. Well, he really
Crushed.
wants to, but she's like, "No, darling,
Yeah.
this ain't happening."
I you know, can we get the line of, "No, you are Jason Todd."
Yeah.
People voted no for you. I voted no for you. I'm voting no for you
Artemis
now.
is not going to be that cruel. She'd be like, "Look, dude, I like chicks. I'm sorry." And just so, and then Jason would all be like, "Oh, so do I." You can see him. He's just brilliant. I love Jason. He's my favorite. Like my two of my favorite characters in the same comic. You know what I mean? Him and Bizarro. So that's why I love Red Hood and the Outlaws. It doesn't matter how stupid it gets. I still, and I'm like, okay, this is a bit silly, but I don't care.
They definitely work well together, there's no doubt.
Then, like, I love there was the episode where Nightwing did actually come. They were sitting, kind of like, trying to ignore each other and trying to talk to each other in this awkward brotherly thing.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
Then he's talking to Artemis, and she's like, "No, nothing's happening, dude. Don't be worrying." Like, the both of them. And I'm like,
Yeah.
burn, guys.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Nightwing because I thought there were talks of a movie for Nightwing.
There was.
And, you know, Robin has, you know, he was the first sidekick. We all know the comic book history and what he's been through. Eventually evolved into Nightwing, you know, teen leader of the Teen Titans, member of the Justice League at one point. So, long history. He was even Batman.
For a time,
For
yeah.
a time, some people really dug him as Batman, especially when he was with Damian. So, I wonder
They
what'll
were a good
happen.
combination.
All agreed. If it's ever going to be a Dick Grayson Batman, it has Damian Wayne has to be there.
That has to be his Robin.
It has to be his Robin. No doubt about it. So,
Yeah,
hopefully
because
we'll
well,
see
it
that.
was there's a movie. You know, Bruce handing over the mantle of Batman to.
To Dick Grayson.
Oh, sorry, I just got a bit emotional there because that would be brilliant. Could you imagine who would be
Yeah.
who would play it? Who would we get in? Like, we could get Michael Keaton now.
I always vi
See,
envision Michael Keaton as Bruce Wayne of a Batman Beyond movie.
of Batman Beyond, exactly.
It
So
has to be.
you get Michael Keaton to come along. Oh, who would we get to play Dick and Damien?
Yeah. Lots of
Oh,
potential
lads,
there.
when you're listening to this podcast and you want to like respond, hashtag TDC2 and the names that you will put for Dick and Damien. Hashtag Dick and Damien.
There you go.
We
There
want to
you
hear
go.
your voice. We want to know what you think.
Yeah, and in the Batman Beyond comic books, you know, Bruce Wayne is there, and recently, Terry McGinnis's brother Matt has become the new Robin in that universe.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there have been some interesting developments with that book and how that character has evolved from the silver from the animated series, really,
Yeah, I
and
was
now
just
it's
about to say
changing
it
to
was
comic
more the
books,
animated.
which is a great, in my opinion, animated show. I love Batman Beyond.
I think they had amazing writers on it. That obviously read, the literature. Because you could see it in it. You know, when you're watching it, you can go, "Oh, I remember that scene." You
Yeah,
know, "Oh,
so
I've seen that somewhere. Oh, yeah, it was in the book."
it's all good, you know, with Batman Beyond. There's no doubt, and I think sky's the limit with that character. And, you know, with the way we're going, where you get guys playing Batman for one, two, or three movies,
Yeah.
Batman Beyond really could be anything that you want it to be in the future. You
Well,
could
you know what I
make it an
mean?
alternate
Batman
future,
Beyond.
whatever you
Get
want.
Michael Keaton back.
Do it
He's the right
now!
age. But like, he is though. He is technically he's the right age for it. So, off you go.
Oh, I'll be the.
We get like a replacement for Alfred.
Yeah, I mean, time will pass, you know? As you know, Michael Keaton as you know, old man Bruce Wayne, I guess,
Oh,
would be sweet.
that would be awesome.
Definitely.
DC, if you're listening to us.
Do it.
Michael Keaton, if you're listening to us.
Do not bring back Mr. Freeze.
I
I've
do
been
not.
waiting here. Now they unfroze me. I'm back. Let's party,
Come
chill.
on.
Cool
Get
it.
your job up.
Yeah. I'll mention these two other characters before we move on to our next segment. Green Arrow and the Flash. You know.
The Flash on TV. Awesome.
I love it.
The Flash on the new movie. Meh.
And yeah.
You know what I mean? He's there for comedy value and nothing else.
Yeah. You know, Ezra Miller, the Flash of the Justice League, you know, to me, even though to me it's more of a Wally West Flash than anything else.
It's very much a Wally West type of character. Not, but it's not even fully Wally West.
Correct.
You know, and it's like, who the fuck are you?
Right.
Sorry, I had to properly swear there because it annoyed me so much. And he's like, oh, they've all left. How rude. Oh,
Right.
no.
Yeah, Flash TV. Love the show.
Yeah.
Love the. And I guess this spills into Legends of Tomorrow. I love the science angles that they take.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say with the Flash TV show, wow, on Professor Zoom. You know, the way
Well,
that
now.
they. Yeah, I was like, this guy scared the crap out of me when I see him, you
Yeah.
know, vibrating at high speed with a yellow suit on and the red eyes.
The yellow suit was just phenomenal.
Yeah, that it's creepy.
Yeah.
You know, so
I like that kind of stuff, though.
yeah, I was utterly like with my mouth open, like holy cow,
It's
like
like,
what?
whoa, we're teetering on, mature content here.
I was like, finally, a villain done right.
It's like, hooray.
You know, Reverse Flash in the comic books, you know, it's been
Meh.
up and down, you know, but on the
Yeah.
TV they definitely got it in a good place. You know, as for Green Arrow, you know, I was very skeptical on the show at first.
I gotta be honest with you. Again, I've only watched a handful of it because I watched it and I was like, oh my God, he's just being Bruce Wayne and it's so annoying. Be your own character.
Yeah, I'm
And
not
then
a.
I got a bit pissy at it and I decided to stop watching it. So I watch random ones. Like I watched the one with, obviously, with Constantine in it.
Of course.
Because,
Surprise, surprise. I'm not a fan of Green Arrow like that in the comic books, believe it or not. But I did kind of like the show. I like the show more for the other characters other than Green Arrow, to be honest.
Yeah.
Unlike The Flash, where I like the character, the villains, I like the whole cast and what they've done.
Yeah.
You know, Legends, I could say that I love all of those characters as much as I do, you know, from the TV and the comic books, enough to, you know, have read them.
Yeah, because you know who they are straight away.
Right. Oh, yeah. When I'm like, oh, there's Captain Cold. You know what? I like the TV version a hell of a lot better than what's going on in the comic books.
Wow, yeah.
You know, the Firestorm. I
I
don't wake
love
up
the
every day and read a Firestorm comic book, but I like it on a TV show. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, there's just so many different things.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Oh,
like, oh, I just love it when they go like, oh, Mick.
yeah.
Like in the early episodes. And it's
Yeah.
like, oh, that's exactly how they read it in the book. Read it, wrote it in the book.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. It's, you know, I think to me that was successful.
Yeah. But I wasn't happy with Rip. I'm sorry. I just wasn't.
I you know, I'm kind of here and there with Rip
Yeah.
Hunter. You know, I'm glad that people will now know the name of Rip Hunter more
Of
than
who he
perhaps a few
is.
years
Yeah.
ago
Yeah.
and understand what his mission is. That I like. You know, but some of the interactions that you've seen him on the big screen with the team, I was
Yeah.
like, yeah. I was a little
He's just too
iffy on.
singular, I think. I just think
Right.
there's just nothing. There's nothing to him.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah, this is something is not something's missing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's definitely to me not like the comic book version of Rip Hunter.
Not in the slightest.
Right. So
Doesn't even come close.
right. So you see, listeners, it's always good to dig into the books to see, especially to me, in my personal opinion, when you don't know much about a character, try to get your hands on their first appearance, because to me, whoever created that character is usually going to be the one writing the first appearance or drawing the first appearance. So you get to see how they kind of intended that character to be.
Definitely.
You know, as time goes on, you know, you could see like these different iterations of the character, you know, like when Bob Kane and Bill Finger had their hands, you know, on the Joker, you know, I don't know how they would react to like a Heath Ledger Joker, how they would have reacted to that. Or
I
even
don't
a
think
Jared
that.
Leto Joker.
Yeah, oh, he doesn't exist.
Yeah. Right. I'm not a fan of that Joker, but I think you get my drift, right?
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, I think people were saying that because he was so badly edited, that we didn't get to see the best of him.
Right.
But I don't think he's great in general, so. Oh, so.
Wanna see a magic trick?
No.
All right.
He'd be like, hey, here, boom, smack in the face, down, he's gone.
There you go. Smack a smile on your face, one of my favorite lines.
Yeah.
We can go on with this subject for much longer, but
You could,
we
yeah.
could. There's gonna have to be a part two on this. Before we close out, name one character from the books that you like that you do want to see on a big or on a silver screen, or even animated for that matter.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. Origins of Alfred. And I know I keep every podcast I've said it, but I just feel that this character has so much to offer that isn't just Bruce Wayne's man at home, you know? That would be and again, I think as an animated series, it would be fantastic. And then obviously, Lady Shiva.
Oh, well, that goes without saying.
Yeah. And maybe like you know, maybe like a Talia al Ghul,
Talia al Ghul series.
series, yeah. You know, her just fights with her dad, going around, taking a dip in the pool, slaying some people,
You
kicking
know,
ass,
nonchalant.
you know, shagging Batman.
There you go.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And then lastly, it'd be got I would love to see a Gotham City Sirens.
Of course.
How
For
about
me,
you?
it's I love what they've done with this character animated in Justice League Unlimited. Was not a fan when he was part of the Superpowers cartoon. I'm talking about Darkseid.
Oh, yes.
I am almost petrified of what'll happen if he hits the big screen after what I saw with Steppenwolf in a Justice League movie. And again, I'm not knocking Steppenwolf. I just think, like, right off the bat, if they took certain liberties with Steppenwolf, what will they do when a day Darkseid steps on Earth? You know, in the cartoons, he's been a badass. He's, you know, beaten Superman to a pulp. The whole
Yeah.
league. Doesn't matter where he's, especially, you know, Justice League Unlimited, with Superman, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah.
Even the other iterations or of the comic books, really, like Public Enemies or whatever. Was it Public Enemies? No, it was the with Supergirl, something Apocalypse, I think. But either way, there, you know, he enslaves Supergirl, and you know, this was in a comic book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that was to me, you know, Darkseid. You know, they went to Apocalypse. They recruited Big Barda. We need help. We need a guide. Yeah, but don't tell me not that Darkseid was not a badass in that animated feature.
That was phenomenal.
Yeah, where does it come from? The books. Ah! Do it now. Anti-life equation. Yeah.
Us and we know what we're talking about, lads.
Yeah, when they say, "Hey, who's up for a role in for Darkseid?" Ah, me, raise my hand. Anti-life equation, longest words I've ever said. I'll use my Terminator eye for Omega beams.
What you like, dude?
But you know, Darkseid is one of those characters. You know, you gotta sit back and say, "Who created this guy?"
Yeah.
You know, and what did he intend them to be? You gotta read, you know, it's Jack Kirby. You gotta read the New Gods. You have to see how he interacted with people on Apocalypse, his kingdoms that are always, if the guy leaves, they're always fighting each other. When he's there, they're like, "Yes, my lord." How does he do that? So you have to really get involved with that character, know the history, know what he's done, know what he's about. You know, before you put him on a big screen, don't just make some giant, you know, titan. I'm a god.
Well,
Okay.
yeah, I think we've already seen that so far
Right. That's my fear.
on the big screen recently. So, you know,
That's how I
we
feel
know we've
about
got the
Darkseid right now. They said, you know, villain to come out in Justice League 3 will be Darkseid.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because after what I saw with Doomsday, we you know. Right. Need I say more in the
You need not say
Batman Superman?
anything else, my dear.
Right. So, on that note,
On that wonderful ending.
yeah, definitely, listeners, send us your thoughts. Like Tracy mentioned earlier, you know, one thing a lot of fans of comics like to do is definitely fan cast. We've
Definitely.
had pa podcasts in the past where we've done that, but at the end of the day, we always go back to the books. No doubt about it.
Yeah,
Something
we do.
keeps us going back is because the meat and potatoes for all of these ideas that you're seeing in the movies, it comes from somewhere, doesn't it? So,
We know where to get it.
right, you know, sometimes the creators of these characters, they deserve a shout out, and we're definitely giving them a shout out. You know, other people will take their ideas and make a movie out of it, and they're making millions of dollars. Where are the creators? Hey, what's this guy usually say? Oh yeah, got it. Up and away. Oh, thanks for the heads up. Done. So.
I'm loving the little sound effects and everything, dude. You just that just blew me away. It was just such amazing. Guys, if you need to hire him for parties or anything, hashtag 13. We need you for a party. If you want like him to do, maybe a radio show or something,
I come
take
cheap.
notes.
Just get me
Talk
13 beers.
about your donut shop.
I
Hit
come
me
cheap.
up, I'll pimp him out.
And on that note, thank you, Tracy.
You're welcome.
We will be back with a brand new DC comic character battles.
Final round. Fight!
All right, so we are back with a brand new DC comic character battles. I will be presenting three battles today, and Tracy will help us out in determining who will win. Are you ready, Tracy?
I was born ready.
I like that. Let's see if you like this. The first match, Constantine, or Constantine, depending on your pronunciation of it, versus Felix Faust.
Constantine, obviously. That was a
Biased
silly
much?
question to ask me of all people.
Biased much?
He would just kick his ass, but first sarcastically, he'd be just like, "Dude, who are you? And what do you eat? What are you even?" And he'd just turn around and throw one of his nonchalant, spells and fireball his ass. Felix, sorry, but bye-bye.
So, for listeners out there, Felix Faust, just to play devil's advocate as well, has turmoiled the league for years, tortured them, all sorts of
Torture.
tricks, even in the cartoon, turning people to stone, going to Themyscira and causing trouble.
Yeah, he managed to get onto the Themyscira, which was very interesting.
Lucky bastard.
Nobody'd be interested in him, let's be honest.
Well, no, just the fact that he's there.
True.
Didn't even share any pictures of his trip. But yeah, Felix Faust, he's definitely no slouch. He's been around for a long time.
He has a lot of power,
Oh
you know what I
yeah,
mean?
no
He
doubt.
really does have a lot of power, and psychological warfare is his thing,
Right.
but because Constantine doesn't take shit, you know what I mean? He doesn't let people in his head. That's his thing. The one thing he doesn't let people in. So, Felix is not going to be able to manipulate him in that way. So it will literally be a who shoots first.
Interesting.
And it will be John, obviously.
So he'll do this all while he's smoking a cigarette.
Basically, while walking into the water.
Oh, look at that.
If
All right.
you don't know what that reference is, go back
Yes.
to one of the podcasts. We'll put it on the in bottom so you can hear what we're talking about. That was a really interesting conversation with you, me, and Johnny.
Yes, it
Oh,
definitely
and not
was.
John Constantine, but the machine.
So the next battle here,
What do you think?
what do I think? I think
Yeah.
Felix Faust wipes the floor with Constantine.
Really?
Yeah.
Just cause?
I think Felix Faust has more inherent knowledge of magic at the ready compared to Constantine, because one weakness of Constantine, although he's very knowledgeable on the occult, I think there are times where he's like, crap. Maybe I have to look into this a little bit more. Or it takes him a little bit longer time to realize what's going on. Felix Faust can just whip something up in a heartbeat. And even if it's not super powerful, I think that's where Felix Faust might have a little bit of an advantage. Felix Faust's really weakness to me is his ego.
Exactly. And when he can't use that as a weapon
Right.
because he's facing the biggest ego out there, let's
Right.
be honest. You know what I mean? Nobody has a bigger swelled head than John. So it's like,
Yeah, to me, it's like
Felix, you're out of here.
I feel like Constantine would be more on the defensive versus someone like Felix Faust. So if he could successfully defend himself, no doubt about it, yeah, that's how, to me, he could beat Felix Faust. But if it's like a surprise, here you are, you're both in the room all of a sudden, I think Constantine's done. You know, if it's like a 1 minute battle. But
Nah.
if it's a dragged out thing, yeah, different story. But that's my opinion.
So we disagree. We'll agree to disagree.
Yes. Listeners, of course, definitely let us know who you think would win this battle.
Obviously, they're going to say John.
Of course. Felix Faust definitely
Yeah.
needs a wardrobe makeover.
Oh, man, totally.
Yeah, maybe Constantine can help him out with that.
Well, he kind of sticks to his own thing as well. So,
Yeah.
everybody, I love that long jacket though. I do.
It's signature for him.
And his white shirt and his red tie and his, oh,
And a
bless him.
cigarette, of course.
Obviously, when he's walking in the water.
So here is the second battle. We've seen both characters on TV as well as in the books, of course. Mr. Terrific versus Lex Luthor.
Oh.
Who wins that one?
Which Lex?
Which one would it take to beat Mr. Terrific? Or could he not beat him?
Wow.
Regardless of whatever armor he's wearing.
It really depends on which Lex it is. No, I think Lex is gone.
You think Mr. Terrific can beat Lex Luthor?
I think Mr. Terrific would figure out a way. See, again, it depends on which Lex it is. Oh man, this one's a good one.
Is it terrific?
It's so terrific, like me. Yeah, I'm Mrs. Terrific. You've
There you
heard
go.
it here first, guys. I am going to say that. Oh man, I really got to think about this one. This one's a difficult one.
So, Mr. Terrific, right? If no one's familiar with them, with Mr. Terrific in the comic
Go
books,
find out about him because he's really cool.
he's an absolutely cool character. JSA, obviously, where he's prominent with the T-spheres and always solving everything and has a
Which is his
plan for
perk.
everything. He's also, a gifted athlete, so he can fight if he had to, but he doesn't need to because his brain is that good. But same is true for Lex Luthor, except that he's not a world-class gymnast. But he
Yeah.
doesn't need to be. The guy is,
So intelligent
he's
and so
extremely intelligent.
cunning and sly and amazingly talented at everything.
I'll tell you this, Superman respects him as an enemy because
Yeah.
for a reason.
Yeah. But that's because he knows, he's so. But again, I think both of them are very tactical in their thinking.
Right.
So they would, I think you need to give them chess to play or something. I don't think either of them would be interested in punching each other's face in. I think they would rather settle things with their minds.
Right.
And they would have to find some way of, doing that and then respecting the end outcome because of their personalities.
Do you think that they could become friends if they had
No.
a matchup? Okay.
No, I don't think Mr. Terrific would ever allow himself to be associated with Lex.
Because you know how good Luthor is in manipulating people to helping his cause.
Yeah, but I don't think he would be pulled into that. I think he's too smart for that. I think again he would respect him for who he is. And he won't agree with what he does,
Right.
but as a person and how he functions, they would have an awful lot of respect for each other because they are very similar characters, just different ends of the spectrum. I'll give it to Mr. Terrific, though. If they have to have a battle, I think he'd just like kung fu kick him in the head and Lex would just go down. But then Lex has a big fat head, so I'm not sure. You might need like an uppercut and then a roundhouse.
Just chuck a T-sphere at him.
Yeah, but Lex would have something to dispel it.
Yeah, it'll be two T-spheres sent his way. Lex will wear the armor and he'll crush one of the balls. And Mr. Terrific will say, "Hey, you're breaking my balls." That'll
Yeah.
pretty much go.
And that's it. And then they'd be like, this is juvenile. Let's sort this out the way men should do it. And then they'd sit down and
Play chess.
probably play chess or some other variety of mental stimulus.
Oh my
And it
God.
would go on for ever.
Yeah. Interesting. So you're saying Mr. Terrific would win?
If it was a brawl.
Okay. I'll
Purely
disagree.
because he has to, he just because he has that little bit of an extra.
Yeah. I think at the end of the day, I gotta go with Lex Luthor if he's wearing the armor. If he's not, he's toast.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. You know,
Yeah.
it always it depended on which Lex it would be. Because, like as you said, if Mr. Terrific starts throwing T spheres at him and Lex is wearing the armor, they won't hit him. You know?
Honestly, I think this kind of battle, I could see this as a three issue limited series.
That would be amazing.
Because you could get to see every angle, the intelligence, the armor versus the T spheres,
Yeah.
and maybe display some of the strategy. What is it Lex
Well,
Luthor
the
is
whole
trying to do?
thing would be strategic.
Right.
You know, the whole and the three issues would they would interlock in a way that you don't know until the very end for the outcome.
Right, and who knows, maybe there wouldn't be a winner.
I don't think there would be. When they're doing when it's a you know a battle of the minds, I don't know if they'd be able. I just think they're very evenly. You know, I think Lex does have a, does have the ability to allow his emotions to distract, where Mr. T, you
Yeah.
know, he don't pity no fool.
No, exactly. Agreed.
See what I
Agreed.
did there?
Yeah, I did. Love it when a plan comes together.
Oh, I do.
So yeah, it's a tough one to pick, but if it's a straight out brawl and Lex has the armor, it's Lex. If it's if he doesn't have the armor, obviously to me, Mr. Terrific will wipe the floor with him. But if you give them everything at their disposal, no matter what time it is, in a 3-issue limited series, I would think, I'd buy the hell out of that.
Oh, I would read the shit out of that. It would
And
be amazing.
I would be happy with a stalemate, provided that it makes sense.
Yeah, of course. Well, see, the thing is, who would write it?
I do not have an answer for you at this time.
I know, right? I can't, like the amount of talent that's out there right now is unbelievable in the DC universe, and we're going to be seeing some amazing people coming on board now, and they're going to be bringing out the Vertigo re-release with, you know, the new titles. So they're bringing new writers and new blood in. But I can't honestly think of anybody that I would be like, write that.
And it's just the tip of the iceberg with Mr. Terrific on TV.
Oh,
We've seen him
God.
in the animated. Great. He's there in a watchtower in the Justice League running things, and
He's in
but
the Watchtower of Faith or something. What's it called? It's got some stupid name.
yeah, in the watchtower, the Justice League watchtower, he was
No,
there
but they
helping
have
run it
some.
up.
They have, don't they have some like nickname for it?
Yeah, the watchtower.
Oh, I'm
But
gonna punch you in the face.
but on the TV screen, like, we're seeing him in Arrow, and people are seeing him tinkering with things. That's just the beginning. This character in the
Yeah.
comic books is so much more evolved than that.
Yeah, they ain't seen nothing yet.
Right. And he wears a pretty good jacket. Fair
Yeah.
play. I don't think it would be fair play if these two went at it for 3 issues.
No.
It can't be. Not with someone like Lex. All right. Interesting.
No.
The last battle. Green Arrow versus Deadshot. Who do you have?
Deadshot, because he's gonna use guns. Let's be honest, you know what I mean? If you get shot by an arrow, the even though they're high powered and he knows what he's doing, it's only gonna go so far. You get shot with a gun.
There's always been jokes about Deadshot saying that, he never misses his targets.
Yeah.
But in the comic books, that usually pertains to low-level thugs or,
Yeah.
targets. But he's never really killed a big name in the comic books. Can
Yeah.
you think of one?
No.
Yeah. So Green Arrow has, he shoots arrows, but he has, specially designed arrows at his disposal.
Yeah.
He could hit any target if he wanted to. We've seen that. If that wasn't true, we could go up and down the line with how many characters he's hit with the boxing glove
Yeah.
arrow.
Yeah, he has a lot.
So
But I still think bullets over arrows.
no, I mean, if you
I think if they were doing a duel type thing, back to back, take 20 paces and go, I think Deadshot would just shoot him between the eyes.
Oh yeah, he wouldn't even get the arrow on it, off out
No.
of the quiver.
No.
You know, but if you put them in an empty town, let's say, and they
Yeah,
had to
where
go
they have to
find each
find each
other,
other,
yeah.
then it's Green Arrow.
Yeah. That's the
Because
only way I see him win.
he is a lot more stealthier.
Right.
Because he has to be, because he's got more equipment.
And trickier.
I was gonna say he has bigger equipment, but then I don't know because I've not seen both of them, so I can't, compare.
Well, they don't call it a straight arrow for nothing.
Nuh-uh. Look, I like your bow.
Are you quivering, sir?
Oh, Christ.
Oh boy. Yeah, we could do this
Yeah,
all
so
day.
definitely, yeah, if it's a dual type scenario,
20 paces, it's dead shot.
yeah, dead shot. But if it's a dropped into the middle of an empty city where they have to find each other and kill each other, it's Green Arrow all the way.
Yeah, because yeah, I agree, because Deadshot's advantage is if he's perched up somewhere for a while.
Yeah, because he likes to stake people out.
Right. Yeah, that's his strong suit. You know, you give him his weapon of choice, which won't be his arm shooting thingies.
His arm true the eye that you can't see with.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if he's aiming down the scope with the wrong eye,
So funny.
if you give him his proper sniper rifle, his favorite one of
Yeah.
choice, perched up on a roof from like, you know, a mile away, Green Arrow's toast.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause there's
But
no
I
way
don't think
Green
Green
Arrow could
Arrow
reach him.
would ever stay in a place long enough for him to get that perfect shot.
Right. And Deadshot at close range is no joke either.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, Green Arrow at some point has to get close enough, but stay far back so
Yeah,
that he
he
doesn't
needs to
get
find
hit.
that safe distance.
Right. There has to be a safety zone where he knows that he can let off an arrow without it, you know, getting interfered with.
Yeah.
Or, you know, but obviously that'll have to be some sort of a trick arrow, no doubt
Yeah.
about it, for someone like Deadshot. Maybe disable. And that's the thing with Deadshot,
Yeah,
because he.
it'll be like an electrical impulse that like stuns him,
Right.
and then he'll just come over him then and go like bam.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that kind of bothers me with Deadshot now, the modernized version. You know, he's relying a little bit too much more on technology, so it's a harder
Technology.
sell for me.
Yeah. Where originally it wasn't, it was him and his guns and his that
Right.
was it.
Yeah, his, you know, he maybe he had a scope, that's fine, but now it's like it does have to work for him. So, you know, and then, you know, with his arm blasters or whatever, he could just swing wild, so to speak.
Which is stupid.
Yeah. So, but yeah. All right.
There you go.
I like that. I definitely want to revisit Mr. Terrific and Lex Luthor at
Do
some
you
point.
know? I think we could do an entire podcast on
That would be terrific.
that. It would be so terrific.
All right.
You like
So,
excellent.
yeah, Lexalent, is that what you said?
That's exactly what I said.
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent. Excellent. Okay,
Yes.
everybody, so get that trending, okay? Hashtag excellent. I want to see it on Twitter in the next few days.
There you go, and that would definitely be terrific.
It would be so terrific.
All right, so that'll do it for our episode of the Dynamic Convergence. Thank you so much for listening. Definitely send us your thoughts. You can reach us at Dynamic Convergence on Twitter. Of course, I am the 13th Crusader, along with Tracy Sayers, the terrific Tracy Sayers.
Aye, aye, Captain.
And we will see you guys next time.